listening to Fresh Take.
You are listening to the Fresh Take Network.
Fresh Take, the Rundown, Part 2. Joshua Adam Lamarth, the Talent of the Six of Dangerous, the Devonier, the in-person, it's Devin Seal.
This is the longest it's taken us to do one goddamn show. Like, we're almost at the point now we might as well just do next week's right now.
Yeah, there's nothing really to talk about next week, so we can just skip it. We did it.
Perfect.
Sweet. Week off. We can do B-sides. We can actually do B-sides.
There you go. Perfect.
So we're going to talk about a few extra things here. We kind of talked about Batman. So any last coming back to when we talked about Batman in part, I think the one thing you talked about is that Batman throughout the years, it doesn't really matter what you do. It always kind of lands and it always works. There's something that connects you to that hero.
Well, part of a lot of interpretations of Batman come from the 1940s and 50s. Mm-hmm. And for it to revisit that time frame continually just works really well.
Yeah.
We've seen Wonder Woman in that time frame or Superman in that time frame, and it kind of works, kind of doesn't work. There's something about the pulp fiction novels that it's based off of, the neo-noir stuff, that makes Batman such a great fit for that time frame, you know, like the Roger Rabbit kind of gumshoes and flatfoots and detectives and stuff like that. So I haven't seen any more of Batman since we talked about it last, but the lasting impression is that the interpretation just feels correct. There should always be a Batman in the 40s where he doesn't have a lot of gadgets and has to rely on detective work or hand-to-hand combat. That's Batman can exist in a lot of different ways, but that's one that I think should always kind of be around. And then we should have the contemporary version with the space station or the invisible jet or God knows whatever, but Detective Batman's always fun.
I think they've done a really good job of, again, hitting the nostalgia the way that we remember that show. I've got two more episodes left. I wouldn't say it's past X-Men 97, but there's a lot of world building and a lot of different twists on character like Harley that they showed in the Harley episode, mm-hmm. which you haven't seen yet.
Did you like it?
I did, yeah.
It's a nice change.
Nice change, different idea of what Harley is. So, and I think, you know, that's, you know, one of the criticisms that people have, oh, I don't like what they did with Harley. It's like, well, I mean, this is a different world.
Guess what? You don't have to watch then.
No, you don't. I like the different, you know, way, I like what, you know, the different arc of the Penguin. I've liked the different arc of Harley. Like, I've liked these different, I mean, everything building up with Harvey right now, and we kind of still know where that's going. And I do love Batman stuff that doesn't need the Joker. It doesn't have the Joker, and he's just always kind of in the back. And you know he's coming,
mm-hmm.
but you don't need it. Like, this Batman is very much Batman Year One.
Which is, for a lot of people, it's the best time frame.
Yeah, there's a lot of Batman Year One stuff, just with Barbara Gordon, obviously, starting her relationship with Batman. Yeah. Commissioner Gordon starting there. Always love a heart. By the way, John DiMaggio was born to be Bollock. I don't know how this didn't happen yet.
Everyone's favorite crooked cop, I suppose.
Yeah, like, I was like, how did John DiMaggio not do him yet?
Yeah.
John DiMaggio, who I would argue,
is he on Rushmore right now with Mel Blanc and?
I think so. Actually, I've got a voice question because I was talking to Nick about this, but I think John DiMaggio is, as far as animated Joker, my second favorite outside of Hamill.
Because he was that one with the long hair, right?
No, that was Michael Richardson.
Okay,
Michael Ray Richardson. I think yeah. So he did in Batman and the Bold, Brave and the Bold.
Oh, okay,
yeah. John DiMaggio did Red Hood.
Oh.
That was a good Joker. Troy Baker's also done... I think Troy Baker might be the only one that's done Batman and Joker.
Oh, that's probably on some Instagram post.
Like, he may be one of the few that did it. Are you talking about the all-time... Me and Nick were talking about this, of the voice credit Hall of Fame.
Yeah.
Go and look at Frank Welker's IMDb.
Oh, he's been in like a... I think he's done 1,000 voices or something.
1,200.
Yeah, that's incredible.
Yeah.
he's there. Like, Peter Cullen's a great voice actor, but he's done one.
Are you saying the modern era or right now?
Time? I think all time.
Okay, so Mel Blanc's there.
Yeah.
Mel Blanc's there. Frank Welker's there.
Yeah. So who's the Rushmore? Who's the other two?
Is Jim Cummings on it?
See, that's probably number three or number four. And then who did who's on Pinky and the Brain? What's his name?
Oh, LaMarche?
Yes. Maurice LaMarche? Yeah. Oh, no, who's the other guy who did Pinky's?
Oh, he did the Turtles as well.
Yeah.
Yeah, and he had the podcast.
What's his name with the glasses?
The glasses. And he did Wacko.
Yes, that's I think he might be number four.
Let's see, I need to go to.
I know his name, but I can't think of it off the top of my head.
I know. Anime.
Is it Paul Kane? Not Paul Kane. Tom Kane?
No.
Because he did SpongeBob?
Animaniacs. Well, there's that one as well. We were also talking about.
Do you have Simpsons characters? Do you have Azaria?
Rob Paulson.
Yeah, Rob Paulson. Thank you. He might be a dark horse for.
I mean, yeah, Hank's up there as well. We were also talking about the Hall of Fame of who is the best voice / live action performer of all time. And we came up with two names automatically. Can you guess the two names before I get to them?
One of them must be Samurai Jack.
Oh, we didn't even do him.
Really?
We didn't do Phil LaMarr.
Oh, Phil LaMarr is one for me for sure.
Yeah.
Okay, so you're saying live action actor and animated voice.
Yeah.
Is Samuel L. in one of those? Because he's Afro Samurai?
No.
Okay.
We're talking about people that just do a lot of, they'll be in the most random animation ever. Like Sam Jackson, all respect, is not doing a random,
he does certain things.
Cartoon Network show.
No, what are the two that you came up with?
Clancy and Keith. And I don't even have to say the last names.
No. Yeah, that's true. That's fair.
I think it might be Keith David because he has the two more iconic live action roles with The Thing and They Live.
Well, and the live action stuff. Yeah, probably. Clancy seems to be he's a that guy when he's in live action, but he's a name brand when it comes to voice acting.
Mr. Krabs, Lex, and go on.
Yeah. That's a tough one. Yeah. Voice acting is a really interesting profession to really think about the deep dives and because then you also have all the the anime, the American voice cast of anime shows. There's three or four voices who kind of do every big anime as well.
All the people from One Punch.
Oh yeah, yeah, exactly.
So, yeah, it was interesting. I'm surprised you. I'm happy you went down that hole because Nick and I went down that rabbit hole the other day. We were talking. It was like. That's tough.
Jim Cummings is definitely. Yeah. Jim Cummings, Mel Blanc. I think we figured it out. I think we figured out the Rushmore.
What about the woman that did Rocky?
Oh, Rocky and Bullwinkle?
Yeah.
Oh, shit. What was her name?
It's like Bugs is Mel Blanc, duh. This is what I was thinking with on top of that. Is Walt on there?
No.
Because he only really did Mickey and some of the Disney characters, and Mel did everybody. Mel did every Looney Tune, did he not?
He was the man with 1,000 voices, they said.
Yeah.
No, I don't think Walt.
Mel Blanc,
he's the pinnacle.
I think, yeah, he's the GOAT.
Yeah.
If you talk about, you know, the silent film era, and that's Charlie Chaplin.
Right.
Like the first movie star, and then Buster Keaton is the first gag comic.
Mm-hmm.
Then you're talking about Mel Blanc as the first voice actor.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, first one to make it really distinct and everyone a different voice, and he's able to kind of. Well, I mean, we've seen these. We've talked about this clip before. There's a clip of Mel Blanc doing. It's Bugs Bunny.
Yeah.
Pretending to talk, Daffy Duck, which he also did.
Yeah.
But he has to pretend to be Daffy Duck in a Bugs Bunny voice. So he's acting to act to act or something. Wow. It's so crazy.
Just because we don't have as much to talk about on this side. We got Comic-Con and then Deadpool. In the past, let's say from this decade, right? So 2000 on. Who was on this one? Is DiMaggio?
DiMaggio's on because he's also Jake, Jake from Adventure Time.
Yeah. And Bender.
Yeah.
Obviously the big one. But in so many other stuff.
Seth MacFarlane's got to be up there.
You're right.
Whether or not we like it or not.
MacFarlane's on there. That's a great point. Trying to think. Justin Roiland. I have to bring it up.
But his run was so short, relatively speaking.
Here's the thing, too. Number one, piece of shit human being. First and foremost.
If this podcast is good at one thing, it's calling out celebrities on their bullshit. Yeah. We don't let anybody go for free, apparently.
And as we saw, like, with the people that came in that do the new Rick and Morty voices, I actually like them a little bit more. Sure, that's
controversial. Maybe it's because they're more distinct or what?
Maybe. And, like, after you've heard a Justin Roiland voice, you've heard a Justin Roiland voice.
Yeah. Well, it's just Justin Roiland. Okay, so are we judging voice actors?
Unlike with Seth, like, there's probably people that don't know he's Quagmire. There's probably people that didn't know that he's Roger the Alien.
Oh, yeah, exactly. They only think of him as Peter Griffin and Ted.
And Stewie.
Yeah.
I mean, there's probably people that don't know he's Stewie. It's very small, but I bet you there's people that don't know he's Stewie.
Fair. One of the things I was going to say was judging voice actors based on... There's a difference between tweaking your own voice and speaking in your natural voice or a pitched-down version.
Actually, speaking of that, I'm going to show you a really cool clip because of that they bring it up and continue.
Versus someone who has to make a completely new voice. Like, when Seth MacFarlane does Stewie... He's actually playing a different person.
Yeah, he's playing someone like
when
Rex.
when he's playing Brian, he's kind of himself.
Yeah. So,
but I give him credit for the ability for him to switch into Stewie mode, you know, just at the drop of a hat.
I sent this to my sister yesterday, and it's our boy that played Obi-Wan.
Oh yeah, James
Arnold.
Yeah.
Look at this.
That's similar to, so if I bring in a little more nasal, then you got Michael J. Fox. Well, wait a second, Doc. But if you take Michael J. Fox's voice and you drop it down here, you get Shia LaBeouf, right? So if you bring it back up and you need a little more nasal again, but a little less interested, now it's David Spade. You move it over here into the front of your mouth, you get Christian Slater. Well, if you bring back over here, it's J. Baruchel. And you bring that down, then it's Albert Brooks. This is a no.
Wow. That's incredible.
Yeah, and Frank Caliendo's done that as well.
Oh,
I'm
yeah.
I'm not surprised that Caliendo never did more animation voice acting.
He, you know what he was? He was 5 years too early,
yeah,
but in the wrong sphere. Because he kind of got market corrected by, not, he didn't get Me Too, but he got market corrected in terms of like the idea of blackface and what our definitions are.
Yeah.
But from a talent standpoint, he's undeniably talented.
Yeah. A lot of the time when you have these talented voice actors in the sense they can do impressions, like, it's almost such a niche. Like, you saw that. We've seen that with Jay Farrell. Jay Farrell is so talented. But it's like, yeah, he can do all these. He can do Will, and he can do Denzel, and he can do Jay-Z, but, and Stephen A. But, like, that's... And he's had, like, two or three pilots of his own show, and they just never got off the ground. Super talented actor. And when he was on SNL, he was one of the best parts of it.
It's
same with Caliendo when he was on Mad TV.
I don't envy people who are told, because I'm sure like there's executives who say you gotta find your own brand, and then the next week they say you gotta do something completely different, and you have to balance, like, you know, to be a celebrity, to kind of launch in your own pilots and your own shows and your own ideas, where it's like it has to be relatable but it has to be unique. Like, how do you find the gap between both of those, the bridge or the commonalities?
He's coming on in this new era, our boy San Juan.
Oh, Pro ZD.
Yeah, he's coming on.
Yeah,
he's in Cape Crusader.
So I didn't realize this until well after, but he was in one of my shows of the year, which was Pluto, the Astro Boy show, and he was one of the big bads. And don't get me wrong, like, I've watched a lot of Pro ZD on YouTube and stuff like that. I did not know it was him.
Yeah, and he's done a good job. Like, he does on his YouTube, he does his clips of the stuff he's done.
Yeah.
He does. He has the one distinct voice he has at times, but he also can do a good job.
He's got his YouTube voice. For sure he does.
Yeah.
But, like, when he did voice acting, I was like, holy shit. Like, that's a range. Like, I didn't even know it was him. It's amazing.
Yeah, he's definitely coming up. I mean, Tara Strong.
Jennifer Hale. If we're doing video games, like, that's the thing is, like, where do you draw the line as to who qualifies, who doesn't qualify?
I mean, video games, you're doing Nolan and Troy.
Jennifer Hale, and, I mean...
The one in Mortal Kombat, I'm forgetting, she's in everything as well. She did Melina, but she's done a bunch of stuff either. Jennifer Hale's definitely there, because she did Chronica in Mortal Kombat as well. Trying to remember her name.
Of course we're turning this into like a Mortal Kombat deep cut podcast.
I remember,
like,
that she...
the more you know.
What was her name? She's done a bunch of stuff. Jennifer Hale is also, in Mortal Kombat as well. Phil Lamar is also in Mortal Kombat.
Man, I shot Marvin in the face.
What's her name? Oh, Kara Walgreen.
Oh, okay.
So you probably don't, like, when I say the name, she doesn't pop up with the other ones, but like look at her IMDb, and she's been Ma Kent, and she's been in a bunch of anime, and she was in Spider-Man and Amazing Friends, and was Invincible for a bunch of stuff. She was in Tiny Toons. She's been in SpongeBob. She's been in a bunch of American Dad. Like, she's done a lot.
Wow.
She has 624 credits.
Man.
Yeah.
Get them checks.
Yeah. So, yeah, I don't know how we got down to this road, but I think just from Caped Crusader, and all that to say with Caped Crusader, with Hemish.
Oh, he's so goddamn good.
I don't think he did a lot. I mean, I've seen him in other stuff before.
Okay. I don't know if I would know him from anything.
And yeah, he said, like, I didn't want to do a Conroy per se, but he's like, I wanted to honor it.
But you can't not do Conroy.
Yeah.
And then he ended up actually being the perfect young Conroy.
Yeah.
I love the idea. I saw this thing where, I think it was on Reddit or whatever, and they were showing, it had to do with Star Wars, you know, the de-aging stuff and the dots that, like, the CGI dots they put on the real actors. And then they showed, like, the CGI of what, like, Princess Leia looked like when they did the CGI of her face, but the real actor did Princess Leia. And it was like, so we as, like, movie-going public and movie executives are really adverse for recasting people when in reality, like, we don't really necessarily need, like, young Luke Skywalker, like Mark Hamill CGI face, when we just could have had, like, a young
Sebastian Stan.
Literally, Sebastian Stan play Luke Skywalker in two episodes of The Mandalorian. And I don't think a single person would have cared.
No.
I don't know if going down to the Han Solo rabbit hole is a thing that we want to do, but, like, Aldrick Emmerich or whatever, like, fine.
Yeah.
Our boy Childish Gambino, fine.
Yeah.
So why are we so against, like, certain people getting recasted and not? So do we have to go down the rabbit hole of CGI people, or can we just recast and just get over it? Like, I'm totally okay. This is a hot take. I'm sure a lot of people, like, if Star Wars was like, oh, we're going to do a Rogue Squadron movie after Jedi with the original cast, but we're going to recast them. Okay.
Sure.
Whatever. I wouldn't be offended by that.
I mean, as we, what we saw from,
recast from people. That's my point. Recast people.
Acolyte. Everything is, there's a guy on TikTok right now. He's really funny. He's like, if Star Wars fans would act like they did now, he's just like, look at this sloppy way that he's handling a lightsaber in episode one. He's like, this guy's supposed to be the chosen one? What the hell? And even like when he goes to Jabba's palace, he's like, he doesn't even know there's a platform under him? And he's supposed to be this Jedi master? Star Wars is ruined.
That's the unique thing about being a Star Wars fan, is like, you're basically never happy. Yeah. You're only happy if you talk about, like, the original, what you grew up with, and that's it.
I listened to a show today, and they said the three worst fan bases are anime, wrestling, and Star Wars, because they're never happy.
Oh, well, you got two of three, you're fine. If you were the three of three, you'd be like a neckbeard.
And actually, right now, wrestling, we're very happy for the most part.
Is it really good?
Yeah,
it's sometimes. It's a good spot?
It's hot product right now.
Mm.
Coming off of SummerSlam, good show. But
so when does WWE go to Netflix or whatever?
January.
Are you excited?
Yeah, it should be good. I don't have to pay anymore because I split Netflix. I don't have to pay $15 to the network anymore.
Well, we're gonna get to a point where these
Netflix bill will go up.
Why?
Because they paid $10 billion for it.
Well, I pay. I'm the secondary subscriber on an account. I pay my $10 a month.
Yeah,
I pay my parents.
Because what is Netflix right now?
22 or something like that. Wow. I don't know.
I don't think that's worth it for Netflix.
Netflix is the kind of thing where I don't look at it as like I don't ever really need to know what's new on Netflix, but I do go on to it to see if I can find something that's really niche.
Mm-hmm.
Like, to go back into the library.
That's Amazon for me.
Amazon is so hard to navigate. I'm such an anti-net, like, Amazon fan. Like, Amazon's got decent products.
Yeah.
But their user interface sucks. Their layout sucks.
Yeah.
Their search function sucks. You never know what you have to subscribe to, what you have to get for free.
True.
But, and, like, you even think, like, Netflix, you're always kind of pleasantly surprised by Netflix being like, oh, you have this movie from the 90s? Like, I'm okay with that.
That's true. I wish we had what they got in the States with this Hulu, Disney,
the Max, super package?
Max one.
Yeah.
Because the fact that we're going to be, Disney is what, 17, 18? And yeah. Crave is 22, and Crave is just not worth 22.
No.
It's not
It's worth only 22. Worth 22 if you're in an HBO era. Like, if HBO.
Like I am right now with Thrones. I think after tomorrow, I'm going to cancel it for the month until Penguin comes.
That's probably good. Like, I think people need to get... We need to stop being so loyal in terms of, like, I'm going to subscribe for a whole year. We might as well just subscribe for a couple months. Watch what you want to watch. Cancel it. Because there's no cost to cancel it.
There's only been three things on Crave this year that I've really watched. Which would be Curb, Conan, and Thrones.
Shogun? No, that's Disney.
That was on FX.
Honestly, if I just had FX and HBO, I'd be fine.
Yeah.
I don't even watch that. I watch like so many 90s movies on Tubi.
Yeah. That's why Tubi's number one right now.
I get a little.
I mocked. I think it was Adam that picked Tubi as the streaming service of the year, and I mocked him, and it's number one right now.
Well, it's very popular internationally. I have a couple drinks or whatever, and I'm by myself, and like I go down the Tubi rabbit hole because I'm like, what weird ass like niche product can I find? And you're like, oh, I'm watching some weird, you know, Chinese Hong Kong action movie from the 80s.
Amazing.
Oh, it's the best ever. But you can never find it anywhere else. Where you can't even buy the DVD if you wanted to.
So we'll get to you with more Batman stuff next week. Deadpool Wolverine, I saw.
I saw Deadpool 2 on Wednesday.
Good job.
And I regret it.
So we won't go into much stuff on that. I might do a review with Nick on Deadpool or maybe with Andy, but all I'll say about that, and I'll get your quick thoughts on Deadpool 2. All I'll say on Deadpool Wolverine is it's a great time, super fun. You know, it's awesome. Hugh Jackman is awesome.
Yeah.
It's really...
I don't think anyone dislikes Wolverine.
It's really fun to see him getting a chance to do this in the MCU. You and I were not
The wrong Sabretooth, though.
Yeah.
Where's Liev?
I don't know.
What's he doing? Filming Hard Knocks?
Actually, it does make sense. If I
Is it like a timeline thing? Like,
kinda.
Yeah, okay.
Kinda.
Did they ever explain why there's two Sabretooths, though?
Kinda.
Like, in all the X-Men movies they did?
None of the X-Men movies in this.
Oh, they do? Okay.
Yeah, but then I would okay. kind of tell you the plot.
Thank
so.
You.
So, I think it was a really fun time. Sweet cameos and everything like that, but this will also have... I'm interested if this has the same problem that No Way Home did, where in the theater, it's super fun, get the cheap pops for the cameos...
Right, it's filmed for like an audience to go like woo.
Like I remember watching No Way Home the first time, and when Garfield comes through, it's like there's a pause.
It's like a 10-second pause. You're 100%
fucking awkward.
Yeah, it's 100% a pause for sure.
Because they anticipated it in the theater because of what they had with the Endgame scene, and it does seem like Marvel has been chasing that Endgame scene now consistently. Well, I mean, I give this movie a 7.5 Deadpool Wolverine, which I think is fine.
That's fair.
I don't think it was the Marvel savior. I don't even know what that means at this point. I don't think there's any such thing as a Marvel savior. I mean, this movie's going to make $1 billion. You know what else made $1 billion? Just last year, Guardians. So, critically, maybe it hasn't been as high as it
was. $1 billion is not the status symbol it used to be.
I know.
Even 10 years ago, even when we were starting this podcast, we're like, one movie every 10 years.
But coming off of the Marvels
making
$400 million.
And they probably spent $400 million on that movie, yeah.
And the Marvels, I think, is fine. As far as all these Marvel movies go, I don't think, other than Secret Invasion, there's been, a total stinker. I think they've all been moderate.
Did you watch Echo, by the way?
Yeah.
Okay. I think I'm, one in.
They've all been moderate to good to great.
But nothing, moderate.
But nothing's been this was a piece of shit. Like, Internals I'm a lot higher on than a lot of people are.
I think it was fine.
I think that gets a bad rap personally, but...
But you know what it is? Like, Internals as a solo project, I think, is a fun time. The problem is they didn't support Internals through other franchises like they did. Like, when you saw an Iron Man movie and it's supporting Black Widow or Hawkeye, and then you go see a Hulk movie and it's supporting Black Widow and Hawkeye, you feel like when you see Black Widow and Hawkeye in another movie, like, I've already got some shine to them. Eternals would have been totally fine if we got some teases of Eternals here, there, and other properties. But we're talking about the direction of Phase 4, which is so different.
The problem with Eternals now is that's going to be the Last of Us movie because, you know what works? Past IP. That's what we need to do. So we need to bring back Tobey Maguire. We need to bring back Blink Cameo.
I don't think you have. You shouldn't have
to. But that's what they're going to look at. That's the lesson from Marvel is going to be. And we already saw that now at Comic-Con. Of the lesson they learned from No Way Home and from this is the bring back past stars, whereas in Eternals was telling a completely new organic story of moving forward with things. And that's the thing I liked about what Eternals was doing, but they're not going to take that. It's you know what works? cameos and past stars. Mm-hmm. That's what works. And
cheap pops, yeah.
As a story, Deadpool is fine. It's a little bit flimsy as far as a story goes. Like, as far as a movie, it's not better than Guardians 3. Like, it's not even close. Like, Guardians 3...
It just has moments, and in 2 hours, there's moments where you're like, this is amazing.
It's a really fun movie. It's a really fun rewatch. I've seen some people, like, Andy, our Marvel correspondent, said it's a top 10 Marvel movie. I'm like, maybe top 20? But, like, when you say top 10 Marvel movie, like, let's remember, there are some really good Marvel... It's still not the funniest Marvel movie. Like, I've seen some people, like, it's the funniest... It's like, it's not funnier than Ragnarok. Because Ragnarok has a story.
Guardians 1.
And Guardians 1. Like, this is... And kind of like what your point is, that you're telling me off air about Deadpool 2, which I'll let you bring in. Like, there's funny stuff in this, but much like some of the cameos aren't going to age as well when you get to see the rewatch, some of the jokes in Deadpool 2, which you're talking about, don't age as well. And some of the jokes in this aren't going to age as well, not by being, like, super offensive, but by being like,
they're current. They're too current.
That was really funny in 2024.
Yes, exactly.
It's like someone watching Deadpool Wolverine in 2028.
Yeah.
Before Secret Wars or whatever.
And they forget, like, the weird celebrities they're talking about or the weird memes that came up.
They're
to
talking
us.
About the MCU being dead, and they're watching this 10 years from now, like,
It's not dead.
Okay, whatever. I don't care.
Every movie, yeah.
Anyways,
exactly.
So you kind of were thinking the same thing you saw Deadpool 2.
Well, it's just like Ryan Reynolds is such an interesting star because I completely admit, like, I'd have a beer with him. I feel like he's very charismatic. I feel like he's relatable. But, like, his sense of humor, he wants us as the audience to know that he knows that the joke, like, there's layers to the joke, and that he's smart enough that he's telling you which layer is the funny layer. And I feel like I'm being pandered to. Every time he makes a joke and he looks in the camera or winks or puts his hand over his mouth and goes like, oh my gosh, I can't believe I said that. Like, that isn't funny to me. The Deadpool 2 had some fantastic building blocks and then just weird execution where they were so worried about making it current that it actually feels more dated. Like, it feels like an older movie even though it's 6 years old compared to Iron Man 1.
Yeah.
Because very, very few things in Iron Man 1 were related to 2008.
Yeah. When you're talking about the DC Universe... You watch back Deadpool 2
Eisner,
now,
like, DC Universe, and then he's talking about, like, is dubstep still a thing to Cable? And it was like, oh my god, like, I haven't thought about dubstep in like 10 years, let alone 2018.
Even when that joke happened then, it was dated.
Yeah, exactly. But, and that's what I'm kind of thinking about Ryan Reynolds, where, like, I feel like Ryan Reynolds has supreme amounts of talent, but I feel like he's so worried about being relevant that it takes away from him being as funny as someone like Albert Brooks.
Mm.
Like, when I watch Hank Scorpio episodes, I laugh in 2024 because Hank Scorpio made the same jokes in 1998 as he did in 2024. He wasn't making, like, Ralph Nader jokes. Yeah. Or he wasn't making Bill Clinton jokes. He was making jokes about hammocks.
Yeah.
But Ryan Reynolds doesn't do that. He does jokes about, like, what... Like, he thinks that, like, this movie is a snapshot in time of, like, where they, like, when they wrote these jokes, it was like, oh, let's go browse Reddit and tell you what's funny.
Yeah, well, and Deadpool Wolverine has a few of those as well. Again, I like the movie. It's a fun movie.
They're probably fine in the moment, but I watched Deadpool 2 6 years later for the first time, and I was like, man, like, I am so over this.
And you're more than likely to see Deadpool Wolverine when it comes to Disney Plus, let's say in October.
Maybe even next week.
Yeah.
But I'm not dying to get to the theater. Sorry, the theater. But... I want to see it. I want them to be. I want it to be good. I want to promote the future of the MCU. I want it to be good for Hugh Jackman. I want it to be good for Ryan Reynolds.
It's definitely good for Hugh Jackman.
I just don't care about Ryan Reynolds as a person as much as everybody else does. It's like Dave Grohl. Like, I respect Dave Grohl as an individual, as a musician, but, like, he's not the savior of rock and roll to me.
No.
Like, he's just a cool guy. Great. Like, let's just say he's cool.
I would say too, the best thing about Deadpool to me was there was some. A different level of the Deadpool character that they had that I cared about a lot more. But anyways, I can't get into much without telling spoilers. Good time. 7.5. Love the movie.
Tons of cameos. Tons of good cameos.
Really good cameos.
Cool.
Really
awesome.
Good cameos. Emma's great. They continue to show that they are one of the best actors in Hollywood right now, from their portrayal of Princess Di to now their portrayal here. Awesome. I can't spoil. I was about to go on a rant about something from spoiling, so I'll keep away from spoiling it there. But yeah, I think it's really good time. You know what I am excited to see in the theater is Alien, which we saw.
Oh my gosh!
We saw the trailer for before Deadpool, and I was like, I think Nick was telling me that from the Living Dead or whatever.
Yeah,
that director is doing this.
Yes.
Alien.
Yes.
Oh, it looks so
good. It looks practical. Like,
it looks practical, and it actually, that's the first time, like, this has, like, when we saw Prometheus, it never had, like, the horror feeling to it.
This is, like, sci-fi. It's too sci-fi.
This has the horror feeling to it.
When you're trapped on a ship with grating and pipes, and then something pops out of the pipes and latches on your face, like, that's terrifying. Prometheus was more of, like, they were trying to promote the legacy of Alien rather than the myth of Alien.
Yeah.
And Alien and Aliens work so well because you barely see them, but when they do, they have such an impact in terms of your psyche.
Yeah.
And Romulus seems to be more along like that.
Facehugger's right.
Oh, God, that's going to creep. Like, I love spiders and arachnids. I had a tarantula as a kid, and Facehugger still creeped me the fuck out.
All right, last thing really quick here. We're talking about Marvel, and Robert Downey Jr. is back as Doom. This is what I talked about with Marvel sees these ideas and like, hey, you know, it works this. Now, obviously, you had to recast this role because you couldn't have Jonathan Majors. I mean, I don't know why you just didn't recast Kane, personally.
Poochie died on the way home to his home planet.
Rather, it's a variant or not, and it probably will be.
Yeah, I read something about him being, they're going to say he's a Nexus being.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of like Scarlet Witch.
Yeah.
And so by a Nexus being who was not supposed to die, when he dies, he wasn't supposed to sacrifice himself. They have to go find another Nexus being, which was...
So it's probably going to be Spidey.
I'm fine. No, it's not going to be Spidey because we already have three Spider-Man.
Here's a minor spoiler for you just on this conversation.
That's fine, yeah.
In Deadpool Wolverine, now we have Anchor Beings as well.
So is RDJ and is Steve or Tony Stark an anchor being?
Maybe, because they're saying in Deadpool's world, Logan dying wasn't supposed to happen yet.
Right, yeah.
And he was the anchor being, and because of Logan dying, that universe is about to crumble. Because the anchor being
had gone. Yes, yes, yes. I think supposed to go. So in Endgame, when Tony Stark sacrifices himself, it's an anchor being.
Yeah.
They're going to start collapsing unless you fill the void with another anchor being, yeah, which is going to be another Robert Downey Jr., but he's Dr. Doom.
Yeah.
When you explain the inclusion of that, it makes a little bit of sense. I'm not against it. But I'm kind of like, why are we giving a chance? Like, I know exactly why they're doing it. It's for money. But, like, Cillian Murphy as Dr. Doom. He's right there.
I made the joke. I'm like, get the guy.
From Oppenheimer.
Oppenheimer.
No, wrong guy.
Wrong guy.
Wrong guy.
Like, no one's questioning that RDJ is going to have a good performance as Doom. No one's questioning that.
No,
like,
it's just kind of lazy.
It's very lazy.
It's just lazy. I want to see Dr. Doom. I want to see Dr. Doom run done right. I want to see the Fantastic Four done right. I want to see X-Men done right. I want to see Gambit on the big screen. I want to see
it.
Oh, man. Like, if... Like, it's funny because Disney and these franchises can make these compelling stories in animated, and then when it comes to live action, like, even Tales of the Jedi, Tales of the Empire are both top-tier stories, and then it's like, live action? We're gonna phone it in.
Yeah. I mean, I didn't feel like a comic, like, I saw someone was like, Marvel blew DC out of the water at Comic-Con. I'm like, well, DC really didn't do anything. Comic-Con.
Yeah, they're literally in, like, the year of, like, rebuilding. Like, don't...
They just kind of said, like, hey, here's some shots of Superman, and here's the Creature Commando show, and yeah. And I mean, it's not like Marvel did a lot. They're just like, hey, here's another trailer for Winter Soldier. Cap 4. And
I wish it was Winter Soldier.
They showed some Thunderbolt stuff, which apparently got people a little more excited about.
Which should have Winter Soldier.
Yeah, it will. And then they show us the Fantastic Four stuff, and then they brought Tony on. So it's like, okay, you didn't do anything, like, I don't think, mind-blowing other than the RDJ thing. And the one thing the RDJ thing does, it gets people talking. I've seen people like, well, you didn't like, you know, we didn't like Affleck, or we didn't like Ledger. Like, again, no one is questioning.
We actually did like Affleck.
Yeah, I did.
We liked Affleck.
No one is questioning that this will be a good performance. It's just a lazy performance that we'd rather see another actor have. And it also sours, at least this point, I could eat my words on this, it does sour the way that Tony goes out, just like in Invasion, Rhodey being a Skrull sours that side of things.
Mm. Spoiler alert, because I only watched one episode.
Right, I forgot.
Yeah, I don't care.
So, but like, you're taking away these meaningful things, and everyone's like, oh, when Tom Holland Spider-Man sees Tony Stark as Doom, it's gonna hit him. Yeah, of course it will. It will.
That's the whole point.
It will. Yeah, no one's denying that. Like,
that's the point.
It will be enjoyable. It's just Cillian Murphy and other, and even RDJ as Doom is just not someone I envision as Doom. But I know he will do good. I know he'll do good. I'm not denying that.
Yeah, I just
Victor Von Doom is just such an important character.
Yeah, well, there's a lot of important characters that Marvel kind of skipped over, and but even like it's so funny, like the whole whiplash of people on the internet being like, oh, like I can't believe they recast Kang so quickly and so easily or whatever. Like, they just kind of forgot about him. Then people are like, Kang's not even important in the comic books. He's not even like that strong. And people were like, yeah, that's true. And I'm like, no, okay, not. I don't know. Like, whatever.
He is.
Like,
he's very.
Yeah, no, people were like, he's not even that big of a deal compared to Doom.
Well, no.
And I was like,
nobody is.
Well, there's like, what are the big bads of Marvel?
Doom's probably Galactus, number one. Doom's number one.
Doom, Galactus, Thanos, and
you got Annihilus.
Those three?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. And we're getting Galactus and Fantastic Four.
Yeah, through a drone.
But Doom literally pulls Thanos' spine out.
No, he asks him, he's like, do you have an Infinity Gauntlet right now? And he's like, no. And he was like, okay, sucks to be you, zoink. Yeah.
I think we'll get that scene in Doomsday too.
He's gonna get, or Secret Wars. He's gonna pull out like a variant of Thanos's, like,
yeah.
And then so that Thanos never got to actually get the Infinity Gauntlet, but Doom's gonna have it.
Yeah.
I mean, you're kind of making things exciting for me.
Well, the original script now was leaked for Kang Dynasty, and they were gonna have all these past Anchor Beans get together. So it was gonna be Toby.
Okay.
It was gonna be Nicolas Cage. Ghost Rider.
Oh wow, yeah. Okay.
It was gonna be Wesley Snipe.
Okay, yeah.
And
is it gonna be blinking or not?
What?
Is he gonna have his eyes open this time?
And then I think it was gonna be Affleck's Daredevil. And then they'd have some other ones from the MCU, but they were gonna have all these past, and then I think they were gonna have that Reed Richard as well.
Oh, whatever his name was. Yeah.
So they're gonna have all these past ones as,
that's kinda fun.
Yeah. And then they were gonna go to these different universes, and then they would have some people that were in our MCU in 616.
I'm fine with that.
Yeah.
I'm okay when you build stuff. When you build on existing things, I'm totally fine.
Well, you know what's happening in Cap 4, right? They're talking about the hand! Acknowledgement!
Finally! He did it! 10 years later. God damn it. Because the rumor is that the hand was going to be the source of adamantium or something.
It is, yeah.
Okay. So Wolverine exists in 616 or doesn't?
Not yet. Because remember, we don't know yet, because in Miss Marvel, that was the first time that they said that she has the mutant genetic in her.
Oh, okay.
Right? At the end there? Yeah, so, and then at the end of the Marvel, spoiler alert, we have that scene of Beast, because Spectrum goes to a different plane, and she gets in the X Academy and sees Beast there. So we're getting
some... And it was Kelsey Grammer Beast, right?
Yes.
Yeah, okay.
So we're getting some teases of the X gene. And I mean, no one's denying Doomsday and Secret Wars are going to be anticipated.
Secret Wars are going to be friggin' bananas.
Awesome. Like, I'm not denying it.
And everybody knows Secret Wars.
RDJ is going to be great. The first trailer is going to come out. Although I will say this. I tentatively do not want to see a trailer for Doomsday.
Would you skip it?
I really want to get into this idea.
You watch a lot of YouTube, though.
I know. But I really want to get into this idea of just not watching a trailer.
I usually only watch one of movies that I like.
There was a spoiler in the last trailer for one of the cameos in Deadpool.
Oh, I haven't seen it. Okay.
Yeah, so I won't tell you. But I'm like, I really want to go to one big movie and just see no trailer.
Like Alien Romulus, I've only seen the first trailer and was like, I'm in. I'm fine.
I saw the, like I said, the face huggers run. I'm like,
fine. Yeah.
I'm good.
Just the...
Yeah.
Ugh.
And then I guess kind of last thing here. I saw Ghostbusters.
The Paul Rudd one?
Yeah.
And?
Sure.
Ghostbusters as a franchise is in a really weird place, and I don't I really feel for fans of the franchise. Because, like, I don't know how Ghostbusters fans are supposed to feel about Ghostbusters the franchise.
Nick and I discussed this. I think there's only been two good properties.
Yeah.
The first movie and the animation.
From the 80s. Yeah. Or the 90s?
80s, 90s.
Yeah. With the Garfield voice who did Bill Murray.
Yeah.
I think that's it.
Ooh.
Because 2 is fine.
I've heard a lot of people rebounding on 2 being like, it's not as good as we remember it to be. And I was
it's fun.
Shit.
It's
like,
fun.
Yeah.
This one's not bad, but there's also stupid stuff in it. And there's like the... I love Kumail Nanjiani. His character in this is so stupid. The problem with the last one was it was good, but there was like no ghosts.
If you would have told me like 7 or 8 years ago Kumail Nanjiani would be kind of a sellout now, I would have been disappointed. And I'm not upset with him, you know, getting that money and becoming just a regular movie comedian. I think especially after Big Short, he had a chance of doing some special things like... Yeah. We would have held him in a different light, you know? Right, yeah. But I think for him to be like, oh, I'm just going to take paydays. I'm going to take easy franchises and just kind of get in there. Yeah. Like, we're going to think of his career very differently now.
Yeah, that's a great point. And also in this is the movie of paychecks from Paul Rudd, whatever, from Carrie Coon to Bill Murray.
Oh, my God.
Bill Murray's just, you can tell, he's just like, another one of these? Sure. Aykroyd's ready. He's ready to go. Aykroyd is great. Because Aykroyd wants to be there. You can tell.
Yeah.
Aykroyd wants to be there. Ernie Hudson seems like he's half in.
That's the thing. Like,
Patton Oswalt wants to be there.
Yes. That's the thing about some of these things. Like, for Bill Murray, for like Ramis to pass away, like, it's okay that Bill Murray is like treating it not the same.
Yeah.
It's not his fault. And it's also okay for Bill Murray to be like, what is he, 80 years old now? And just be like, you know what? I don't give a shit anymore. Like, yeah. I don't blame him. Of course, we want to respect people who put a lot of work into their craft, but like Bill Murray's had like 3 career peaks where he's like, Bill Murray became a meme for like 10 years. People were like, he was like on pictures on people's trucks. And so like, he doesn't give a shit about.
He still made me laugh once or twice in this movie. Not the way that Eddie did in Cop 4, but Cop 4 has no reason.
But Bill Murray also kind of got a little canceled last year or so, too, with his attitude. And you know what the funny thing is the only person who can blame themselves is him. Yeah. Like, the way he treats people, and it's notorious that he's an asshole. Mm-hmm. Like, he's not a good person on set compared to what we've heard of, like, Steve Martin, for example, who's, like, overly nice. And we celebrate the wrong people. Like, I love Bill Murray, don't get me wrong, but also at the same time I recognize, like, if I met him and he was an asshole to me, I wouldn't be surprised.
No. No. I still have to see that Steve Martin documentary.
Oh, yeah.
I heard it's really good.
I kind of want to see the...
Now you mentioned Steve Martin, though. Now I know it's coming in like the next 2 weeks, and you get me really fucking mad.
Only Murderers?
We have to watch it again.
But there's more stars this time. No, I want to see the Jim Henson doc.
Really good.
Is it?
Oh, I loved it. Yeah, it was good.
Oh, man. Every podcast turns into like a Muppet Appreciation podcast. Oh, like, they're Disney, if you're listening to this by some godforsaken chance.
When's Goldstein just going to make his Muppet movie?
I will literally work for the Disney company to be a Muppet person. Yeah. I would do it. I would make you so relevant in the culture. Muppets should be back.
Well, the show they did last year was like still got nominated for a bunch of awards and everything like that, and they never gave another chance.
Oh, Dr. Teeth?
Yeah, it was great.
I finished it. I really enjoyed it. It was just, it knew what it was.
Yeah, Ghostbusters is like a 6.5.
But like, if you're a Ghostbusters fan, like that's a win for you, I guess.
I was happy to be back in the world, and there was interesting ideas with it.
Are you anti-female Ghostbusters?
No.
It was fine?
Yeah, I rewatched it recently. Like,
yeah, that's what I'm asking.
I think there's more ghosts in it. I think Leslie Jones is really good in it. Wig is good in it. Hemsworth is hilarious in it. I think I think
there's ideas that work.
There's really cool ideas, and I think even the cameos with the OG Ghostbusters work really well as well.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, Apes, we'll have to watch this week because that just came on Disney Plus. So there's that.
Oh, I want to see that. Yeah.
But yeah, summer movies. And I saw Inside Out, which was just
apparently just amazing.
Fuck off, Pixar. Stop
I heard it's amazing.
Stop it.
Anxiety.
Oh my god.
Who voices Anxiety?
Uma's daughter.
Oh, Maya Hawke?
Maya Hawke, yeah.
Oh, damn. Good for her.
Yeah. And then Ayo's in it as well.
Yeah.
She is... I can't remember which emotion she is, and Paul Walter Hauser's in it as well.
Cool.
Yeah. It's just like, Pixar, stop it.
I haven't seen a Pixar movie in years. I'm really behind.
Man. And all that to say, I still... by the way, congratulations to Adam for winning the box office draft.
Oh, my God. Fuck. I was happy with Dune 2, then it was like, hold my beer.
Yeah, well, I don't think any of us saw Inside Out becoming the top 10 biggest box offices of all time. I thought it would do good, but I didn't think it'd be top 10 all time.
We always have a hard time predicting what animated movie is going to blow up. Like, you did that with Secret Life of Pets, with Hotel Transylvania.
I had Minions.
Minions.
Because we had the Gentle Minions the year before it, but I didn't do it this time.
Exactly. So, like, picking animated movies is just a shot in the dark. It just, that's what it is. And sometimes you get lucky. Like, Is Soul a better movie than Inside Out? Maybe. I have no idea. Why isn't Soul like proportionally as good as Inside Out?
Yeah. Well, Soul also unfortunately didn't get to go in the box office.
That's just an example. I just came off the top of my head.
And then, I mean, who knows? Maybe Wicked will get like $2 billion from me.
In one day.
I don't think that's gonna happen.
It'll be the highest grossing movie of all time.
Wicked has to go against Gladiator, and then the next week is Moana.
Okay, so I fully admit that Gladiator 2 is probably gonna be a bad movie, but that trailer got me hyped.
We should do a separate thing on the box office of just separate Moana and see if Moana by itself can beat some of our movies all combined.
Oh, probably. I can't predict Disney anymore, because every time I think Disney's going to do well, they don't, and vice versa.
Moana will.
I think
Moana wins the... I was talking to Adam about that. I thought Moana... I think it wins the box office. It's got a month, but it's got Thanksgiving weekend.
Yeah, exactly. And it's got 2 weekends to do it.
And as far as Gladiator, I think Gladiator will do good in the box office, because it also has a Thanksgiving weekend.
I'm going to be the kind of person who's going to wait. Like, if people are like, oh... Gladiator 2 is actually really good. I'll go see it, but I'm not going to be the first one to go.
The trailer was interesting. It got me like...
The Rhino!
Yeah.
I want to see just the fight scenes. I don't care about anything
I definitely
else.
Think it's a movie that will make you want to go to the theater.
Yeah, I'm fine with that.
Yeah.
I'll go on a Tuesday for half price.
So there we go. We're going to wrap it up right there. Thanks, Devin, for coming in. Like I said, I think it's a little bit more of a quieter week this week. You can go watch Cape Crusader. Futurama is back. On Disney, I think that Turtle show for a nice animation week coming out. Alien is out this week or next week, I believe.
16th, I think.
16th, okay.
Yeah.
And then Star Wars Outlaws out at the end of the month. We have Madden out in 2 weeks. I'll give a better college football review. We're running out of time, so I'll give a college football review in like 2 weeks or so. Right now, I'd give it an 8.5. We'll get more.
People seem to be happy. Mostly. There's some problems, though.
I mean, the gameplay is very arcadey. It's not very good simulation football. It's very arcadey. But everything you wanted from it, you get. So
okay.
I'm happy with it. All right, everyone, thanks so much for listening. Until next time, folks. Cheers and enjoy the day, people.
Thank you for listening to the Fresh Take Network. Follow us on social media platforms at Fresh Take 42.